So tonight for Pele Yoetz, we're studying an essay which we started in the past, but we never finished it up. And the topic, the title is Hachana, Hachana, which means preparation. And it's all about the significance of preparing. Preparing in this case for serving God, preparing for a mitzvah, preparing for Shabbos. And he says that in the case of Shabbos, the Ari, right, who lived 5 centuries ago in Tzfat, he used to sweat a lot in order to prepare Shabbos. He didn't rely on anyone else, no maidservant, and not his wife. He had to do it himself. Why? Because he felt that to be involved in preparing for a mitzvah is a tremendous opportunity. And he didn't want to miss up on that opportunity. He calls it a tikkun gadol. In other words, in not only in halachic terms, but even in mystical terms, this has a great impact when a person sweats for the preparation for Shabbos. And then he tells a story, which I'm going to read to you. It's actually printed on your page in Hebrew. And that is that Amru al Morenu Harav Rabbi Avraham Alevi, Zichron al-Vacha. A story is told about our rabbi, Rabbi Avram. He doesn't tell you his last name, so it's hard for me to identify who he is. Shoyamar bepsios, he would run and take long steps, liknos lahachin tzarchei Shabbos, in order to prepare for Shabbos. For example, you have to buy something, he would go by foot and buy things in the store, echad echad, one thing at a time. Ki yesh schar psios, he said, I'm going to be rewarded even for the steps I take. V'ayahosa hakol al yodo, and everything he did personally by himself. He did not ask any agent to implement this preparation for Shabbos on his behalf. He would do it himself personally. Ki mitzvah bo yoser mibishlucho. Because it's a greater mitzvah when you involve yourself personally. So that's the story that the Pele Yoetz tells about Rabbi Avram HaLevi. And you can read about it in the text that I photocopied for you. But now, the Pele Yoetz makes a comment on this story. Because you and I would say, well, once we hear this story, we should imitate this story. This is a teaching for us. He says, Vani Omer, Shaharav Avri Avram Haya Osek, and why did he do this? Lefisha Gamba Halichoso, even while he was walking, Toroso Umnoso B'machshovto, he was totally dedicated to the study of Torah. He was thinking Torah thoughts as he took these steps on his way to the Makolet, you know, to the super. Vitorud Bitvekuso Imkono. He was totally clinging to his master, to his creator, v'avoso, with love, v'yiroso, and fear. And therefore, even in the amount of time that he spent in the walking and the running to buy things for Shabbos, he was still involved at the same time with Torah, with Dveikus, with Ava, with Yira, with all these services to God. So he was multitasking, we would say in our language. You know, a lot of people who will talk to you while they're texting. You know, they can do two things at once.
Or even driving, three things at once.
Okay, that's pretty dangerous, a violation of the law as well. But in this case, on his high level, as he was walking from point X to arrive at his destination, point Y, he was fulfilling every single dimension of service to Hashem. Aval kagona nan, but what about us, if we want to imitate him? Yasme di yasme, we are like the orphans of the orphans. Im yeshlo misha yasam alachto, if he can send someone else on his behalf, an agent, and he could spend a lot of time, instead of walking and traveling and purchasing and preparing. He says, Yosef Tov, I would rather recommend, he says, Sheyeshev Vebeisel, let him stay at home, send someone on his behalf. You know, today you could have, what do they call, shoppers that shop for you, you know, professional shoppers. or maybe he can send them a text message and they'll send it over, they'll deliver it.
You do that now, you can call it in.
Call it in. You can do it right here on Supersol, up the block. V'yasok b'Torah HaKadosha, let him use that time better for Torah. V'yikne yediyah chadosh, in order to acquire new concepts and knowledge of Torah. Ki kol chafatzim lo yishvabah, nothing could compare to Torah study. So if you're on the level of Rabbi Avram, who can study Torah while he's doing this, and it's not a contradiction, it's not mutually exclusive, that's what you should do. Because then you get the best of both worlds. You're preparing for Shabbos personally, not through an agent. You're sweating it out, but at the same time, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Torah study. What could be better than that? But for us, on our level, it's an either-or situation. We can't do both at the same time. We don't have the ability to multitask. And therefore, if we're weighing on the scale, the following two possibilities. Number one, to get personally involved in buying things for Shabbos without sending any sort of agent and spending all that time preparing for Shabbos but not having the ability to study Torah. The other option is to study Torah and send an agent, a representative, to buy and prepare for Shabbos. Then, kol hachafatzim lo yishvu, but nothing could compare to Torah study. However, he adds a postscript at the end of this presentation. I'll call upon him, but nevertheless, lo yifchos, he shouldn't go beyond below the minimum. He shouldn't go below liknos davar to buy something for Shabbos. Lahachin ezidavar, or perhaps to prepare something. Kigon, for example, is sader tashulchan, to organize the table. Lehetev asaneros, to prepare the candles. Legadol asapsilos, to make sure that the wicks are going to catch the flame, the chadome, and the Gemara tells us about various amoraim. One would prepare the fish for Shabbos, and the other would prepare the chicken for Shabbos. And therefore, he says that even though I would rather prefer that you stay home and learn Torah, if it means dedicating a large chunk of time for Achana l'Shabbos, but don't think that you can get away with nothing without doing any preparation for Shabbos. The preparation for Shabbos is a great mitzvah, and it has a certain power, a school of power, a tikkun gadol, as the Ari calls it. Don't miss out on that. You can't just simply give it all over to those who represent you and will implement it on your behalf. You have to get it personally involved, but only on the minimal level, because you're able to spend all the extra time studying Torah. That's his introductory paragraph to this very very long article of 4 pages long on Hachon.
Is he saying that it has to be a conscious recognition of study or preparation of us, where, at home, we were doing things, preparing the candles and putting the tape on the refrigerator light, all the things, but not necessarily saying, I am doing this because...
Interesting. We're gonna actually address that question here on this page. And we're going to see that the Mishnah Berurah himself, which is number 4 on the bottom right, says, Ra'isi, I saw Anshe Maisa, people of action, meaning people dedicate themselves to serve Hashem. Shekodem, before they go ahead and do it, they would make an announcement. Well, this is for the service of Hashem. They would actually enunciate it out loud. But certainly, the more you're consciously involved in the fact that you're preparing for Shabbos, preparing for a mitzvah, that enhances your fulfillment of hachana and jacks it up a few notches. If you do it nonchalantly, almost habitually, perfunctorily, as a robot, without any consciousness at all, I'm not saying you're completely empty of any reward. You deserve some reward, but you're really chipping it down, whittling it down. So what I want to study with you tonight are some of the commentaries in the various writings that address this issue of preparing for a mitzvah. The most important of all the comments that I want to study with you is a certain comment of the Toras Moshe. The Toras Moshe was someone who was he wrote a commentary on the Torah at the time that Hasidus started evolving. He's very early in that history, and he became one of the most popular commentaries on the Torah. he's famous among, you know, every commentary of the Torah has its own sort of take, its own perspective. What he's famous for, his expertise, is to present the Ramban Nachmanides, who wrote his Pirush, you know, 9 centuries ago. And when the Ramban raises some sort of an issue or a problem, he takes it upon himself to try to offer a solution to that problem, which is quite amazing. You know, that's a challenge, that's a feat. What was the Ramban's problem? The Ramban felt, and that was his basic premise, that when the Torah blesses us in various verses with long life on the land, on the Adama, I'll give you the pasuk in just a second, then the Adama, that land is the land of Israel. And according to Ramban's his very basic premise, God would not bestow a blessing that we should live on the land of Chutz Laaretz, outside of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, for a long, long time. So let's take the pasuk again. If we, I don't know, David, if you don't mind opening the Chumash here for me.
Are you talking about the length of your life or the length of time? The length of time
that will be settled if there's a blessing from God that the Jewish people, because of a certain merit, will live a long, long time on the land. That land is with a capital L. It's the land of Israel. But he had a problem with one instance. So you want to open up to Dvarim, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Ches. And we're going to see Rashi's comment there. Tell me if you well, find
it. I'm in the ballpark, I think. Tell me if I'm close.
All right, thank you. Okay, now you know these words by heart because we recite them at least twice daily. This is the second parasha of Kriyat Shema. If you will live up to the challenge and the responsibility of fulfilling my commands, Asher Anochi Mitzaveschem Hayom, and you will serve God with all your heart and all your soul. And then the Torah goes on to say that we will live a long time in the land. And l'man yirbu yameichem v'yamei v'neichem al ha'adama. So we will live a long time on the land. So what land are we going to, you know, as part of the framework of reward, God is promising us that we'll live a long time on the land. You know, we won't run from exile to exile. Which land are we talking about? According to the Ramban's basic premise, the land of Israel.
Where is this, Rabbi?
This is, you have the article, Chumash. It's the second paragraph of Kriyat Shema. Again, it's in Dvarim Yud Aleph. That means the book of Deuteronomy, I think it's called, chapter 11. And you can start reading from verse 13 and on, culminating in verse whatever it was then. Okay then? Verse 18, whatever number it was. Now, what's the Ramban's problem? It says in the Pasuk that this is Pasuk 18, if you have it. V'samtem es dvarai eila al levavchem v'al nafshechem. That you should fulfill all these words on your heart and on your soul. So Rashi makes a comment here. And Rashi identifies this as the mitzvah of tzitzis and tefillin and mezuzah, those three mitzvahs. In other words, when Hashem says that you should fulfill these mitzvahs, and then if you don't fulfill these mitzvahs, you'll be gone from the land. Again, these are all verses in that chapter that we read in Kriyat Shema twice a day. The mitzvahs that we can single out, says Rashi, are the mitzvahs of tefillin, tzitzis, and mezuzah. Because at the end of this entire presentation, The Torah says, "Ukshartem osom lios al yedchem," and then it goes on to say, "Ksavtem al mezuzos peisecho vishorecho." Now, here's the question we have to ask: when we put this all together, like a puzzle, we find that in this second parash of Kriyat Shema, God is telling us that we better be careful about fulfilling mitzvos. If we don't, we're going to lose the land. If we do oblige the mitzvos and fulfill them meticulously, we are guaranteed long life in the land. Now put that together with Rashi, that which mitzvos can we single out? Well, if you read the parasha ends with the mitzvos of tzitzis, tefillin, and mezuzah. Says the Ramban, but wait a minute. When God is telling us for meticulous observance of this land, God, with His divine promise, rewards us with long lists. What is the Adama here? Again? It's the land of Israel. Well, wait a minute. These mitzvos have nothing whatsoever to do with the land. Tefillin, tzitzis, mezuzah are all, to define them in a lowest common denominator, they're called chovas haguf. I'll write that on the blackboard. Oh, they call it a whiteboard here. Oops, sorry. Chovat haguf. Which means what?
Obligation of the body.
Yeah, it's an obligation of the body. You put tefillin on your body, where it sits on the body. This is not what you call a chovat karka. Karka means the ground. The only mitzvot that apply unique and specifically to the land of Israel are chovas karka. These are mitzvot like trumos and maestros and leket shikha and peah. These are the mitzvot that apply to the agriculture. So there's a very strange paradox which the Ramban presents here. On the one hand, the Torah is telling you to fulfill mitzvot and be meticulous and dedicated, that a chovas haguf. On the other hand, he's rewarding you long-lasting time in the land. Well, what land are you talking about? If you're talking about the land anywhere on the face of the earth, anywhere on the globe, because the chovas haguf, it's not limited to it, so then I understand. But the Ramban's thesis is that when the Torah promises us, and I quote, if you don't fulfill me'al ha'aretz, it means from this land of Israel. And on the flip side, l'man yirbu yimeichem yimeichem al ha'adama, that if you fulfill these specific mitzvahs, you will live a long life without exile and without running from one diaspora to the other on this land. It's referring to the land of Israel. But yet you're singling out those mitzvahs which have nothing whatsoever to do with the land. That's the paradox here which the Ramban is facing. So I'll read to you inside the Hiksha Ramban, Hek Shaykh Lomar al Zeh, how can you say with regard to these mitzvahs, Laman Yibu Yimechem Yimechem al Adama, Halo mitzvahs heim b'chutzlaretz. These are mitzvahs that he's fulfilling in chutzlaretz. So we're addressing chutzlaretz, and we're telling them, fulfill these mitzvahs here in wherever you are, and then you'll last for a long time in the land. It would seem that that land should be the land within which you're fulfilling the mitzvah, not the land of Israel. So how do we make any sense out of this? So as I told you at the outset, this book called the Torah Moshe, he took it upon himself to try to resolve all the Ramban's problems that are raised by the Ramban in his commentary on the Torah. And he says the following. How do you define a person? What is man, so to speak? And his premise is the following. Haguf, the body of man, einenu ha'adam. That's not man. Ela, but rather, what is the body? It's a tick. Anybody know what a tick is? Not a tick that you itch your body with. A tick is a bag. Hasuya me ofar. It's a bag that's made of dust. And inside this receptacle, this that's made of earth, tamun ha'adam, you'll find man hidden inside, so to speak. Shehu, but what is man? Hasechel ha'pnimi, that's his intelligence and his pnimiut. Pnimiut means his inner spiritual soul. So again, you can have a tick, you know, you could have a bag that you, you know, that's the body of the person, and that's carrying his essence, which is the Adam himself, the soul of man. Fascinating. But what does that have to do with us? He says, in Tikacha Adam, Al Karcha, V'tazizehu mimakom lemakom, if you're going to take a man and you're going to pull him or pick him up and put him down in a different place against his will, but Cheftzo Ritzono, his real inner desire, Einenu Imo, I mean, he doesn't want to leave the place where he is and be schlepped to another place. So you're taking his physical body and relocating it, but he himself, the essence of man, which is his soul, his will, that doesn't move along with his body. You've now created a kind of soul out of body. Halololokacha Adam, he never took man out from one place to the other, but what he took out was a gush afar, right, a pile of dust. So the dust of his body, he can move from one place. But his will and his thoughts, nishar bimkomo harishon, they cannot be forced to leave the first place. So in other words, I'm in the land of Israel. For one reason or another, I have to leave the land. But my thoughts are with the land, and my will is to be in the land. Havi ki'ilu adayin husham. It's as if he's still in the land where he wants to be, in his original location, until finally they convince him that he has to leave. If he finally understands that it's a good thing for him to relocate, that's the point at which he relocates. Somehow the influences that bear upon him convince him that he has to go along with his body to a new location. Then you could say the man was taken and relocated. But if he never agrees and he overcomes all the persuasions and the influences that try to seduce him to agree to be relocated, he remains absolutely committed and devoted to stay in his original place, then that's where he is, because the essence of man is not his physical body, but rather his soul, his will, his spirituality. Therefore, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, afilu begolus, even if you're in exile, and you're there fulfilling the mitzvahs like tzitzis and tefillin and mezuzah, mikol makom v'samtem es dvarai eila al levavchem. What it means is that you in Chutz Lartz are dedicated to fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem, adukim b'torah uv'mitzvos, totally dedicated to those mitzvahs. V'oz, as a result, afal pisha guf nud nun dalet means it got moved around. Mitoch Artzel Hakdosha, from the Holy Land, it was removed, placed as it were somewhere Chutz Laretz on the face of the globe. Mikol Makom Kol Magamaso LeEretz Hakdosha V'Torah Hakdosha. His entire will and his spiritual being is all dedicated to the Holy Land. Kirichsiv, and he quotes a pasuk in Tanakh. It says, "V'Hayu Einai V'Libi Sham." My eyes and my heart are there, kol hayomim, all my days. Ubechol makom shanachtu yoshvim, even if physically our body is located in Chutz Laretz, anu yoshvim, anu means the essence of man is dwelling al hadama kedosha, on the holy land of Israel, based on his machshava and his rotzon. Even though physically, materially, we're located in Golus, Mikomakom, Miskayim, we fulfill Leman Yirbu Yemechem V'Mevenechem Al Adama Asher Nishba Hashem. Hashem can now promise us that we will have a long life on the land itself. Now I don't know exactly what he means, a long life on the land. What he means is God will. One way of learning what he's saying is that God will strengthen him in his dedication to the land and his existential identification with the land through his will and through his thoughts, and God will give that strength and that will last a long time. Another way of saying is that God is promising that physically the Jewish people will return to the land if they're meticulous about the mitzvahs, because even though they're physically outside of the boundaries of the land, where are they spiritually and emotionally? They are in the land. So it's really interesting. If I were to travel from, let's say, as I did a week ago, from Toronto, Canada, to Ben Gurion Airport, and now they ask me to stamp my passport, well, I can say I never left. Why do you have to stamp my passport? The answer is you have to stamp my passport because my body left. But where was I? I was here in the land the whole time. Yeah, David?
The way we're describing it now, I'm wondering why we're limited to the three mitzvahs of the goof of the tzitzis and...
Right, so that's very metaphysical. There are three powers of evil in the world. If you give me, or even without a sitter, help me out with this. V'hurachum yichaper avon v'lo... Yashchis. So Yashchis is one of the three powers of evil. Virbala Shiv, what's the next word? Apo, that's another one of the forces of evil. What does it say afterwards? Kol Chamato. And Chamato is the third of the powers of evil. So we have Mashchis, and we have Af, and we have Chema. Those are the three. And connected them, we have Tzitzis, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. Again, how this operates in the mechanics of the mystical world, I don't know. But those are the three mitzvahs that take us, again, you know, give us the power to overcome the temptations. And if we overcome the temptations, then at least existentially, we are absolutely committed to the land of Israel and to the Torah of Hashem, even if we're living under very difficult circumstances, very far away from the land, even if we're subjugated. Our goof is in Golus, but our neshama, our soul, is in the land.
Is there a translation to those three evil things?
Oh, that I can't do for you. For that, you have to, if I lived another 100 years, I wouldn't be able to do that, Richard. Because for that, you have to be a real mystic. I'm not a real mystic. You know, I can throw out the lexicon and so forth and play with it on a mechanical level, but the real mystics, they know what these forces of evil are.
So the words are just accepted as the forces without definition, right, so to speak?
Now, at the time of the Chet HaEgel, these three forces of evil were very powerful. And therefore, the Medrash says that there were three giants that lived at that time, spiritual giants, and that's Moshe, Aaron, and Hur. Do you remember the name Hur?
Yeah.
Okay. Hur actually was murdered by the people when he tried to stop them from worshipping the idol. But if you notice the first letter of each of those names, Mem of Moshe, and then Aleph of Aaron, and then the Ches of Hur. And those are the three first letters of Mashchis, Af, and Chema. And those were the three individuals who were able to detonate the powers of those evil and save the Jewish people. In fact, there's only one night of the week that we don't say V'hurachum Yichaper Avon. Which night is that? Friday night. On Friday night we don't say V'hurachum. And the reason is because Shabbos is called Me'ein Olam Haba. It has some sort of a mystical reflection of the ultimate world when all the forces of evil will be destroyed. But the rest of the week, when we start a new day, and the new day in Halacha begins at night, we have to ask Hashem, V'urachum Yechaper Omam Lo Yashkus, that He should give us the ability to overcome these three forces of evil. Okay, we got off on a tangent. But the bottom line that I wanted to present to you here is that when you prepare for a mitzvah, then all the sweat and toil in preparation for the mitzvah is an indication, or it's a personification and it's an expression of your desire to fulfill a mitzvah. That's where your essential will is. So you haven't even gotten to the point of the mitzvah, but yet you're involved emotionally, psychologically, and even physically in preparing for the mitzvah. At that point, you're located in Eretz Yisrael, in the Holy Land. Why? Because that's where you want to fulfill the mitzvahs. You know, the Ramban is famous for saying that the mitzvahs were really given to us in the land. And what we do outside the land, in chutzot, that's just a facsimile. It's what they call in today's lingo, fake news. You know what I mean? It's not the real thing. So we have to prepare ourselves for coming back to the land. But here we're saying something even more than that. When we do the mitzvahs in chutzos, but our mind and our hearts are in the land, we are in the land. Because that's what man is. The Adam is not his physical element, his goof, that's only a tick, but rather his neshama, his nefesh. Now, how does this concept express itself in daily life? So for this, I want to quote to you the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim. Who authored the Shulchan Aruch? I'm just quizzing you. Rav Yosef Cairo, okay, where?
Tzfat.
In Tzfat, how many years ago?
Many.
500, okay, 500 years ago. He was a friend, a contemporary and a friend of the Arizal. And he writes an entire paragraph here about how we should live our lives. He says, Kol Masha Yenev Olam Azeh, any enjoyment and pleasure that we get in this world, lo yechavi lano, so, you know, what's his primary motivation? It's not just pleasure as an end unto itself, but rather la vodas habore, it's pleasure for the sake of serving God. Kirichsiv, he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, bechol drachecha da'eu, in all your ways, meaning in all your activities, whatever you're doing, you should know God. So you have to inject into every action of yours that you are now preparing to serve Hashem. And therefore, kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim, he quotes a Mishnah in Avos, all your actions should be for the sake of heaven. Shafilu dvarim shel rishus kigon achilu shesia, here I'm eating a meal, or I'm drinking something tasty, not chamomile tea, by the way. That's real avodas Hashem.
I ate a little honey.
Maybe then it would be more of a challenge. But even so, whatever you do with chamomile tea, okay, whatever. Anyway, that's just because my Chinese doctor, I drink chamomile tea. V'kol halicha, anytime he walks anywhere, and how much more so if he's walking for exercise purposes, or a yeshiva, whenever he sits down, v'akima, and he stands up, v'atashmish, if he engages in relations with his wife, v'asicha, and he talks and talks and has conversations, and anything that you involve for the benefit of your body, you kulam lavodas boracha. They should all be directed, and your intention should be for the sake of serving your Creator, or lidover hagorem avodaso, or for the sake of something that could lead you to serve Hashem or facilitate your ability to serve Hashem. V'afilu hayetzame v'ra'ev, if he's thirsty or hungry, im ochal v'shosel hana'oso, if he's just enjoying the food and the drink, and that's all it is, he has no intentions beyond that, eino meshubach, I would not give him a great grade for that. You know, he would not get an A+ for that. But im yiskavin, if he has in mind, she yochal v'yishte, that he's eating and he's drinking kefi chiyuso, to keep up his life force, kidei lavod es boro, so that he can serve his Creator, v'afilu yoshev b'sod yisharim, lamod b'makom tzadikim v'lelech b'atzas tmimim, he says, and how much more so if he takes companion and he's in the company of great wholesome, religious, saintly people. So he should do this not because he's enjoying their company, you know, they're good friends, like my father, may rest in peace, used to go to Atlantic City. They used to have rabbinical conventions in Atlantic City. I don't know today if they go there. And they used to walk on the boardwalk. And my father used to always tell the story. He would walk with great Rosh Yeshiva, all of which are famous names in the American yeshiva world. And he would challenge them, my father. He said, who can start a story that I can't complete? He knew all the stories, my father. But it was great pleasure to be in the company of these people, these great people, these tzaddikim, these tmimim, yesharim. But says the Shulchan Aruch, if you're just involved in enjoying their company, lahachshlim cheftzo, because that's what he wants to do, eino meshubach, we're not going to give him a great grade. Elim came, but if he does it l'shem shamayim, he wants to learn from them, he wants to be uplifted, he wants the air, you know, the healthy air and the exercise for his heart and his legs, so that he can serve God, that puts it on a different level. That's inspiring and that's uplifting. V'chein b'shchiva, when he goes to sleep at night, ein tzarech lomar, he shouldn't just say, well, you know what, I just want to enjoy sleep. And how much more so, he says, bizman sheyochel lasok b'tor, which is he really doesn't have to sleep, he's just sleeping extra time because he enjoys it, when really he could have dedicated that time for Torah mitzvahs. He says he should avoid such a thing. Lo yizgara hasheno la'anig atzmo. He says sleep is something that beckons you. And it's a great challenge because, you know, my bed is calling me. I always hear my bed calling me. I want to get into bed. Especially at night, you know, when it's 9 o'clock at night. And I've just eaten a great supper. And now I just want to fall onto the couch, and then my wife hopefully will wake me up at midnight, then we'll transfer over to the bedroom. So there's a great taiva, a tremendous enjoyment and pleasure of sleeping. But he can overcome that, and he can use that time for something much more elevating, and that is to study Torah. V'afilu b'zman shu yageya v'tzarech lishon, even when he's so exhausted that he has to go to sleep, kidei lanuach mi'igiyoso, im osal anos gufo, if he does it simply for the sake of the pleasure of his body, that he has to re-energize himself, he says, Eino Meshuvah, he's not, again, not going to get that laudatory comment. But if his yiskaven losei sheino lienov, he's going to put sleep onto his eyes, the legufa's body, and that menucha, that rest, is litzorach brius, for the sake of health, shaloti torev daito b'torah, that when he studies Torah, he won't be exhausted, and he won't be confused about his Torah, machmas mnias asheino, because if he doesn't sleep, he won't be able to study his Torah. Then if he has that in mind, that's on a whole different level. That's a mitzvah b'chol jachechadei. So if you're talking about hachana, which is that subject for tonight, preparing for a mitzvah, this is a great example, a great expression of this, the emphasis on hachana. And basically, what the Shulchan Aruch is advocating is that every dimension of my life, when I walk, when I eat, when I sleep, everything that I do, even though it could be understood on one level as pleasurable for the body, but I can upgrade it to a higher level and dedicate it for the service Hashem, fulfilling the mitzvah b'chol drachecha da'evu. So that being a Jew is all-encompassing. It's 24-7, like the SOS next door. And it means that there's no moment of time that you're not fulfilling the mitzvah, because you're always preparing yourself for a mitzvah, but only if you have the right intention. You're doing it for the sake of that. And here's where the Mishnah Berurah claims that he knows people, Anshei Maisa he calls them, Shekodem Achil, before they sit down to eat, Hayu Omrim, they would declare, Hineni rotze lechol v'lishtos, I want to eat and drink, kidei she'eye, so that I will be bari, healthy, v'chazak, and strong, la'avodas Hashem Yisbara. To actually make that verbal declaration before the meal. So again, it comes out that with this concept of hachana, of preparing for a mitzvah, everything that we do in life can be classified as hachana. So our whole life, in a sense, is surrounded by this great mitzvah of hachana. And that's where we are. We're not there where our body takes us. We are there in the land of Israel, in the Holy Land. Now I want to study with you another very interesting contribution of the Hasidic world. This is called the Berach Moshe. And he says the following. We're going to read in, 3 days' time, 4 days' time, Bechukosa. And there's a very famous statement, a comment of Chazal, of our rabbis, on Bechukosa. And the Pasuk says, Im Bechukosa Telechu, if you go in the ways of my statutes. And the Medrash quotes the following pasuk: Chashavti drachai v'ashiva ragli, is a pasuk in Tehillim, Elei dosecha. I calculated my travels, my route, I guess you'd say. But then ashiva ragli, my legs went a different direction. Where did they go? Where did they take me? Elei dosecha. Edosecha means to the statutes of God. So the Medrash says, "Fine, Omar David, what? This is, let's decode this secret coded message." David declares, "Ribono Shel Olam, bechol yom v'yom ayisi mechashev v'omer." On a daily basis, he's the king of Israel. I calculated; it was in my schedule, my book, right? What's it called? The ledger, and it says, what do you say? My appointment book, right? L'makom ploni, I have to get to a certain place. Or l'beis dira plonis, I have to get to the house of so and so. And he holeth, and therefore I'm going to go on my merry way because I have to implement my kingly responsibilities. But vaya raglai molichos osi, and my legs carried me l'bate knesis l'bate midrashos. Without even thinking about it, my legs took me in a different direction. So what's the deeper meaning here of this statement of David? So to explain this, we're going to introduce the Kli Yakar in Parshas Baal Loscha. The Kli Yakar wants to explain the difference between two words in Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh, in the Holy Tongue, that sound synonymous and identical. One is halicha, to walk, and the other is nesia, which means to travel. So what's the difference between walking and traveling? That there were two words in Lashon Kodesh, they must be essentially different. He says, Lashon Achila, no fail, it falls, al tuas haraglayim levad. It only relates to the movement of the legs. Hamatikin es ha'odam imokom lemokom. They take man from one place and relocate him elsewhere. Aval yachol lios, there's such a situation. Sha'af biyoso holech lemokom acher. Even when he goes to another place, mikol mokom adayin daito machshavto kshura b'mokom asher holach misham. His mind and his focus is still very much connected to the place from which he, right, the point of departure, not from the destination, but rather departure. And halicha means that although his feet take him a certain way, a certain place, and a certain route, but nevertheless, his machshava is back in the first place where he started from. Avoloshen nesia, the word nesia means hatocha koleles. It includes both the body and the mind. Mikol v'chol, the entire entity of the person is traveling. That's called nesia. When I go on nesia, I leave nothing behind. So just in a footnote, my own personal comment, I get very nervous. Like, people tell me, how come they're not in my class? So they say, well, I'm on a trip with the AACI. Right? That's very common. So where are you going? Going to China. How long are you going for? 4 weeks. Okay? Other than they take them to the fjords in Norway, or they take them down to, you know, down to South America. So they go on a nisia. Do you ever hear that word? Anachnu nosim. That's the modern Hebrew word for going on these trips. So the AACI is the organization that's supposed to encourage Aliyah, if I'm not mistaken. Right? What is AACI?
Association of Americans and Canadians in Israel.
In Israel, right?
It's the post Aliyah.
Post Aliyah, okay. So you want to give strength and chizuk to a person who's on Aliyah, so you send him to China for a month, and he misses Rabbi Berzon's classes for a month. I find that very paradoxical. You know what I mean? Imagine it. What's that great organization for Aliyah? What's it called?
Nefesh B'Nefesh.
Imagine Nefesh B'Nefesh want to take people on Aliyah, encourage them to settle here against the terrorists who are killing us, right? And where are they? Well, we offer them special deals, special trips, you know, with a guided tour, kosher food, to go to China and to go to Thailand and to go here, there, and elsewhere. And not for a day or two, but usually it's a 2 week trip minimum, if not a month. Because if you're going schlepping to South America, South Africa is not such a schlep. You can go to South Africa for 2 weeks. But if you're going to South America, my gosh, you know, there's Venezuela, Brazil, Chile, you know, these are gigantic areas. You know, you take a plane, it's like a 6-hour plane ride from one place to the other. So you're not going to schlep to South America just to see one area. You know, you got to see the whole thing. But I find that a little bit strange. But that's called a nisya. So I think he's criticizing them. I'm just putting this into it. That this is a nisya, which you take your whole essence. You know, we pack our bags, forget about the land of Israel. You know, leave all that bureaucracy and all the other things we complain about the land of Israel, right? Leave it behind. I'm on my way. Me and my wife, we're going to have a great time in the rainforest of Amazon, right? So, And that's called a nesia. Halicha, he says, means that my body is moving, but my thoughts and my existential identification is with the place that I departed from. Vehine, he goes on. Noda, we know something, a secret that was revealed to us by the Baal Shem Tov. He's the founder of Chassidut, so we're really going back to the source, to the origins. He says, "Ki b'makom shedaito machshavto shel adam, the place where a man's thoughts and his emotions are, nechshav kiilu hu shav. It's as if he's there. Befal mamish, in actuality, even though he's located in a different place." And he says, "Umekar advarim." He gets it from the Ramban. The Ramban has a fascinating question about the nature of Eruv. Now, let me explain for a minute what Eruv is. I'm not allowed to leave the outer boundaries of the city 2,000 amah. on Shabbos I'm not allowed to walk more than 2,000 alma beyond the outer boundary, the outer radius or circumference of the city, correct? But I can make an Eruv. What do I do with an Eruv? I take a loaf of bread and I place it outside the boundaries of the city, and wherever I place that mazon, that food, from there I can go another 2,000 amah. That's called Eruv. So the Ramban doesn't understand, how does that work? This whole enterprise, this whole institution of Eruv is a rabbinic institution, it's the Rabbanon. Tchumin, the prohibition against leaving the outskirts of the city and traveling 2,000 amah beyond, is a Doraisa, it's a Torah law. And because you put a piece of bread there, the Rabbanon allow you to go and violate the Torah Iser of Tchumin? How does that work? So the Ramban says the following unbelievable principle. He says, "Kevon shedaito machshavto shel adam al hamakom ahu," since he's already planned to go to that place because that's where he left his food and he located his food there. The Omer Meir of Shabbos on Friday, he declared that that's where I want to be. Teish misasi v'makom ploni nechshav keilu husham b'fal mamish. Because he thinks about that place and he identifies with that location, it's as if he's there. And this comes back to David HaMelech. David HaMelech is on his way for, you know, monarchical involvements and so forth. He's on his way to a certain place. Omar David, b'chol yom v'yom ha'yisi mechashiv yom ha'lomokum ploni ani holech. I'm going towards a place. And let's emphasize the word holech. Holech means his feet, his physical body goes there. He had to show up at a certain place. That's part of his kingly function. For the need of the people. Lo nasa l'sham. It doesn't say, David HaMelech doesn't say, I was no say l'sham. Because that would mean hatokas gufo machshavto, that he's completely cut off from his original place where he really wants to be. Where does he really want to be? Halach b'halicha b'alma. He only went in the physical sense, his body went there. Hatokas raglov, his feet went from one place. Aval machshavto, but his essence, his soul, his emotions, nishara kshura bebeis hamedrash. He was really in the Beis HaMedrash studying Torah, because that's what David's life was all about. When we came and shedaito machshavto nishar dovuk bebeis hamedrash, hare nechshav kilu husham befal. According to this Ramban, with the case of Erevin, we can learn that David HaMelech is really located where? In the Beis HaMedrash. It's only a halicha where his body left his and was relocated outside. And v'zeu ha'kavon v'hoya raglai molichos osi lebotek nesiyas v'botek midrashos, that my feet would take me back to my original place. It's considered as if his entire body is in the Beis HaMedrash. This, my friends, has a tremendous message for us, because we are so involved in so many different things and we have all sorts of responsibilities, and we're working, we have jobs that relocate us. We can't be in the ELC, we can't be in the Beis HaMedrash. But where are we? We are here in the Beis HaMedrash. Even though our physical body, that's called halicha, is carried and relocated our feet, but we are here. And this is where we are. And David HaMelech is saying that even though I'm not here physically, I am considered to be here. Let's go on in the Peleoetz. The Peleoetz, you'll see here in number 6, he says, V'chein kol hachonash ha'demechen l'dvar mitzvah. Any preparation that a person dedicates for the sake of a mitzvah, igufa chashuva mitzvah. It's not a preparatory stage, but it's elevated to the status of a mitzvah itself. Hine ki kein misha kol masav l'shem shamayim. Anyone who dedicates all of his actions for the sake of heaven, nimtza shekol yomav asuk b'mitzvah. His entire life is one unbroken dedication and chain of involvement in a mitzvah. And here we're going to study an insight of the Belzer Rebbe. The Belzer Rebbe, number 7, in the Mevaser Tov, quotes earlier sources that sometimes the preparation for the mitzvah is even more important than the mitzvah itself. Do you hear this? That's pretty revolutionary. And he says that when we prepare for a mitzvah, and we put all our thought into how to, you know, to scheme and plan step by step how we're going to fulfill the mitzvah, then when he gets to the mitzvah, it's beratzon ubecheshek. He is, you know, he's so thrilled and excited, enthused about fulfilling the mitzvah because he put so much energy and effort into preparing for the mitzvah. You know, when you have like a, you know, sometimes they have a town celebration. You know, you've seen it in various small towns. You know, they have carnival and so forth and so on. Those people who volunteer to prepare for that, they're going to enjoy it the most because they put in so much investment of time and energy and emotional energy that this is great. When you put all your time and effort and emotional energy into preparing for the mitzvah itself becomes incredibly meaningful, and it's a high for you. It's something that elevates you, and therefore a person should dedicate himself to prepare for the mitzvah, and then the mitzvah becomes so much more meaningful. He goes on to say, "Al yidei shemechin adam atzel mitzvah." When he prepares for the mitzvah, lo yikaymenu kemitzvah anoshim bilimudo. He doesn't perform the mitzvah perfunctorily, but rather he prepares it with all this preparation, mechin es atzmo lasosa b'kedusha b'tara, and therefore all those paragraphs that you see, which are all introduced by the chassidim, like have you ever seen in the siddur? Sometimes they'll say l'shem yichud, that I'm doing this for the sake of God, and you recite this before you embark on the mitzvah, that's considered a hachana l'mitzvah. And therefore, it puts your mind and your energy force into the mitzvah. Mechin atzmo, he prepares himself for the mitzvah, galadaito, and he reveals that he's very excited about the mitzvah. Chaviva mitzvah v'enov, u'mitzape, he's counting the moments until he can fulfill the mitzvah. And therefore, v'samach la'sosa, he fulfills the mitzvah with a tremendous amount of simcha. And now if you turn your page on the side to number 8, how are we doing on the clock? Okay, we still have a few minutes. We're going to quote a very famous Tanchuma, which the Torah quotes in Shulchan Aruch. It says, with regard to the mitzvah of Lulav, it says, Lukachem lochem biyom harishon, on the first day. And the question is, what do you mean the first day? Usually when the Torah says the first day, it means the first day of the month. Here it's not the first day of the month, it's the 15th day of the month.
First day of Kiyomtiv.
Oh, so what does it mean, B'yom HaRishon? And the Medrash answers in Tanchuma, Rishon L'cheshben Avonos. It's the first day of sin. In other words, he has experienced the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he reached this state of atonement, and that's on the 10th of Tishrei. 5 days later, on the 15th, that's going to be the first day that he sins. So what happens between the 10th and the 15th? I mean, he has 5 days opportunity to start sinning. So the Torah says the following. Sukkos hu hayom harishon lecheshben avonos. Why is Sukkos, the 15th of the month, the first day for the sins? He says, mikevan shebiyom ha-kippurim nimchlu avonoseihem. So he achieved total atonement for his sins on Yom Kippur. What is he doing? What is he occupied with during the 5 days, or actually it's more like 4 days, between the 11th of the month and finally Yom to the 15th of the month? He says, "B'yomim shebein asar la'asif asukim bnei Yisrael ba'achanas sukkah v'dalad minim v'enam chotim." He says that during this period of time, these 4 days, he is totally dedicated to hachana l'mitzvah. He's preparing his sukkah. He's preparing his dalad minim. And by the way, I have to comment here that it's a great challenge for me at least, to be b'simcha during those days, because it's so difficult. After all the study and all the energy I put in to try to understand the laws of the Dalet Minim, there are picture books that'll show you, you know, and the most complicated of them all is the Lulav, believe it or not. You know, in Esrog, if you know the laws, you can more or less maneuver around and figure it out whether you have a kosher Esrog. But in the case of the Lulav, the laws are so complicated. And then the worst of them all is the Hadassim. Hadassim required Mishuloshim. I mean, that's enormously complicated, that three li should come out of the exact same spot. I don't know if I've ever in my life been zocher to see Hadassim that are Mishuloshim. But anyway, the challenge is to be besimcha, you know, to go ahead and enjoy, you know, buying the four minim, building your sukkah. So for my father, it was a cinch because Jimmy, he was the man who took care of our synagogue, he would build our sukkah for us. We just had to put on the schat. And when Jimmy died, you know, it was a, I don't know if you know the Bedford-Stuyvesant area, you know, where the blacks have beautiful churches and funeral parlors. We were tempted to go into this because, you know, when we lost Jimmy, it was a terrible loss for us. I mean, Jimmy spoke even a little Yiddish. One of the few blacks who spoke Yiddish, as far as I know. I mean, blacks who didn't convert to Judaism. I'm not talking about Ethiopian Jews. He was an Afro-American. But we loved him so much.
But Colin Powell speaks Yiddish.
Yeah, that's right. He learned Yiddish as a child. Yeah. So in any event, he says that we have to, you know, it's not enough to tell Jimmy to build your sukkah, you know, that's an easy way out. But you have to be involved in preparation and sweat and toil, and therefore you don't have a possibility of doing averos because you're totally dedicated to doing mitzvahs.
Aren't you supposed to build your own sukkah? Is there something...
Well, the schach you certainly have to do yourself. You can't give that to a goy. But the sukkah per se, the walls of the sukkah, that you could actually give to a goy to build. In most synagogues, the goyim build the sukkah. I mean, hopefully the rabbi oversees, you know, the putting of the schach. Ach lechora tamua. He says, im achanis lemitzvah maginos minachet, if the preparation for the sin should protect us from sin, I'm sorry, the preparation for the mitzvah should protect us from sin. Kal v'chomer more so the mitzvah itself. So we get to the 15th. What are we doing on the 15th? We're taking the lulav. So why doesn't that protect us from sin? Why are we saying that on the 15th we're involved in sinning and that's the first day of our Cheshvan Avonos? So he quotes the Tolna Rebbe, Rabbi David Mitolna. He says this proves that Hachana L'mitzvah is even greater than the mitzvah itself. So whereas the mitzvah might not be able to protect you from sin, but the Hachana for a mitzvah will protect you for a sin when you're preparing the mitzvah. That metaphysical idea, a mystical concept. And he quotes the Ger Rebbe, who says that in the case of Simchas Achag, it doesn't say Simchas Nisuch HaMayim, but says Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Have you ever heard that phrase? Does anybody know what Beis HaShoeva means? It doesn't mean when they pour the water, that's the ultimate mitzvah, but rather when they draw the water. And they used to go to a special place outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Ushaftemayim v'sason, and they would draw the water from the Meishilach, if you ever heard of it. It's Kedai on the next Sukkot, if you have never been, to go along on that trip and see where they drew the water from. Today we know. And he says, why is all the emphasis on drawing the water? I mean, that's only a preparatory stage. We should put the emphasis on the Nisuch HaMayim. It should have said, V'somachto simchas nisuch hamayim. Why simchas beis hashoeva, drawing the water? But the answer is that the hachana for a mitzvah supersedes the mitzvah itself. And therefore, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu praises Avram Avinu. It says, Vayomol Avram es Yitzchak b'no, ben shmonas yomim. So Avram circumcises his son Yitzchak when Yitzchak is 8 days old. Kasher tziva oso elkim, as God commanded him. Why the additional words that seem superfluous? Kasher tziva oso elkim, as God has commanded him. The Torah already recorded in the earlier verse that God had commanded him to do the mitzvah of milah. So what's this pasuk coming to teach us when it says kasher tziva oso elkim, as exactly the way God had commanded him? And furthermore, it says ben shmonas yomim, that Yitzchak was 8 days old. What is shmonas yomim? Okay, that if we had more time, we'd go into that. But here's the answer that he wants to suggest. Ulam esos baha krolulam denu vehuki tekef shaholit Avram es Yitzchak. From the very moment that Yitzchak was born, he was already commanded on that day of Yitzchak's birth that 8 days down the line he should circumcise Yitzchak. And take if Sharas Hanolad Hoyalibo Misavu Mishtokek. He already was preparing himself from the day of Yitzchak's birth. Avram was preparing himself. He was, I guess if you could say, I don't know if this is still modern lingo, maybe I'm outdated. He was psyching himself up. Do you remember that phrase? For the mitzvah of Mila. Misavu Mishtokek. Bara Keish, he was all on fire, waiting and anxiously anticipating. L'kayim mitzvahs milshin itztavim meis ha-mokom. And therefore, in Yeshayo Anovi, Avram is called O'avi, my beloved, because he loved the mitzvahs, he craved to fulfill the will of God. And therefore, for 8 days, from the moment of Yitzhak's birth, he was totally dedicated to prepare himself, to excite himself for the mitzvah. So therefore it says, Miyom, yeah, he says, Ben Shmonas Yom. And for all 8 days, he was involved in the mitzvah. And therefore, when it says at the end of this pasuk, Kasher Tziva Osol Akim, it means from the moment that God commanded him, every single second of time, Avraham Avinu was not interested in pursuing any pleasures. He was just simply anticipating and preparing for the 8th day so that he could fulfill the mitzvah of Minu. So let's just take our message to heart, and if anyone wants to learn Chumash, you can stick around. The message here of the Pele Yoetz is the power of Hachana, and it could be the power of preparing for a mitzvah exceeds even the power of the mitzvah itself. Yiratzon, may it be his will that we should all have excitement, enthusiasm, dedicate a lot of our energy, our emotion to be where the mitzvah is. Don't be where your body is, but where the mitzvah is. And as the Shulchan Aruch says, "Bechol drachecha de'eyu," we should be surrounded by mitzvahs. Everything that we do is for the sake of the mitzvah of Hashem. Kein yiratzon. That should be his will.